You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls His people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the Front Line. And I'm David Francoeur. I'm so delighted to be with you this morning. And I have my two extraordinary co-hosts, specially made in heaven, for this day.
I know that's just... I was made in New Jersey.
Were you? Oh, okay, well, God is everywhere, right? So anyway, that gentleman speaking that with that venerable voice, Ed Skiba. Welcome, brother.
Good morning, David. Another beautiful South Florida morning. Yesterday was the third Sunday of Advent. The topic was joy. Mm. So I asked my wife to get me a picture to put up there during our service of with joy on it. So she got me this bottle of dish detergent.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my. Well, and let's hope she's not listening, Ed. Yeah. Well, anyway, thank you. And Ann Limhoko, welcome. Welcome.
Good morning. I always like to say this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
It goes with the joy thing that you just talked about,
Amen.
Ed.
It does.
Always
Amen.
Be joyful.
That's absolutely
and
right.
And rejoice.
And we're rejoicing today because our special guest is Steve Camp. Steve, good morning, brother.
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you.
It's so great. And most of you know who Steve is. For those of you just come joining us on the planet Earth, the reason I say most, if you're a believer, you have heard Steve's music. And Steve, I know you have been... As a Christian musician, your career spans, what, four decades, right?
Yeah, the first album, Saying It With Love, came out in 77, I believe it was. And so this would be my 47th year. So
wow.
Almost
wow.
Five decades. All of a sudden, I feel very old. but no, it's been great. By God's grace, the entire way. And just always thankful to the Lord for new music and that He allows me to be a part of just a resounding chorus of artists out there that are doing such a marvelous job using the gift of music in communicating eternal truths of His Word and specifically the gospel. So, yeah,
Amen.
47
Amen.
Years.
Amen. And that is a point that I was hoping we could expand on in this hour. But first, I'd said to you before we went on the air that I wanted to pray for your wife, Cindy, and invite our listeners to join us in this prayer. Cindy had an accident, an injury, and great surgery from a gifted surgeon and all that, and is a healing process now. But and God's in it, we know that, but we just love to lift that up to the Lord right now. So, Father, we just come before you. We thank you for Cindy, for all these years that she has been the wife you have called her to be for Steve, and she has been truly a helpmeet, and that she has also, because she's a creative person and very musical, has brought her talents to bear to join Steve in many of the works that he has produced in the power of your Spirit. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for her mission and ministry, and right now, part of her ministry, her mission is to get well. And so, Father, we just pray that your Spirit would move powerfully, bring healing grace to her today and all these days as this healing process continues. Father, we would ask for the speed of her healing to be at your direction, at your discretion.
Amen.
We know what the surgeon said, and undoubtedly from years of experience and people healing after surgery, and it may be that that's the length of time it takes. But if it be your will that she have an advancement in that season of healing so that she can ultimately walk on this restored limb without difficulty, we just lift this up to you that your perfect will be done for Cindy. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate
you're
that
very
greatly.
Welcome. But at the end of this segment, listener, we're going to be playing a release that actually came about, I think, at the end of 2023. It was a Christmas release. Emmanuel is the name of the tune. We're going to be, in a few minutes, I'm going to be asking you to talk about it, Steve. But I want our listeners to know that today's program will be a little different in that on the breaks, we're not going to play promos. We're going to play Steve's music. So we'll tell you about it before the break. But getting back to, you know, the thing we talked about, Steve, and I know you're heavily invested in this truth, is that God gave music to the church as a part of a whole package for believers that is part of worship, certainly, but it's not just limited to worship. And that music brings together discipleship training, content of music, the written songs, and not just discipleship, but good theological foundations that you find in the music itself. And I just talk about that, Steve, because that's your passion, brother.
Well, no, I appreciate that. And I tell you that the 15 years I served as lead pastor here for the Cross Church, bringing a fresh perspective, I think, of music and worship and the arts, even in pastoral ministry, has value. When you were talking there, Colossians 3:16, a familiar verse, I'm sure, to your listeners, but let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, mm-hmm. teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. As God's word lives in our lives, takes permanent residence in us, it's the same list given in Ephesians 5 of being spirit-filled, being filled with the Spirit. Literally, not like water fills up an empty cup, but like the wind fills the sails of a ship and moves it along. In my day in the 70s, when coming to Christ as a product of the Jesus movement, in those days, there was little pamphlets, I believe Campus Crusade for Christ put them out, called The Spirit-Filled Life. Mm-hmm. And what it was is what Paul is saying, living an obedient life, and out of a word-driven life, out of a life that's really filled with the Word of God, and a life that is lived in obedience to that truth, the Spirit-Filled Life of being carried along in obedience to the Lord, we see that we can teach and admonish. That little word admonish there, David, in the Greek, nuthateo, it literally means to counsel and instruct, but also to seek wisdom and encouragement, all aspects of the Christian life. And notice he says, with all wisdom. Wisdom is applied truth, mm-hmm. Of Scripture. So singing psalms, that's literally the Psalter. For those listening, you can get online, and one of my favorite songwriters in church history is Isaac Watts. We all know that name.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He wrote the great hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, and he also wrote the Christmas hymn, which actually was for the second coming of Christ, but people throughout the years have adopted it as a Christmas song, Joy to the World. Mm. And his great thing was great theology leads to great doxology. People sometimes think theology is an academic exercise when simply it means a word of God. And so one of my favorite verses on music to be used in the church is Psalm 119:54. Thy statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. As the old spiritual says, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Mm-hmm. But we have a heavenly song to sing that affects, and I love, David, how you framed it, not only in worship for the Lord's Day, but also our daily lives and giving us encouragement and hope. Even the imprecatory psalms, the psalms of, Lord, get my enemies, or the psalms of, how long, O Lord, will you allow this to continue? If you read through the Psalter of the Old Testament, every human emotion, every human experience, joy and trial exists. So we're to sing psalms and hymns, paradosis, the language of tradition, the great hymns of faith, Be Thou My Vision. Mm-hmm. We mentioned When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God.
Oh, yeah.
And then spiritual songs, the songs of a new generation, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Ultimately, as we speak to one another in the wonderful, timeless way of music, with biblical truth throughout, it erupts in praise and thankfulness to the Lord. So I hope that that'll be an encouragement to pastors as well as just to Christians in general. You know, when going under trial, Paul and Silas sang a hymn at midnight as they were being jailed for being bold about the Christian faith. So music can encourage. I think it was Martin Luther, David, who said next to the scriptures themselves, his favorite book that he kept right alongside was the hymnal.
Amen.
And it has great truth in it. So when we can put statutes and songs together, when we can put word and music together, again, when we can put theology and doxology, a note of praise together, boy, there's a timeless recipe for the power and authority of music that helps us remember God's word. A great way to memorize scripture, put it in a song. And it's how I taught our kids growing up. Mm-hmm. Put music in a song, and it stays with you forever and ever. So a wonderful truth that scripture places a premium on music. Amen. And isn't it interesting,
Steve,
that in this, Steve, the actual music itself was never preserved. We don't know what the melodies they were singing then, but the lyric was in the Word of God. So a great marriage for a new generation, for you and I, to take these timeless truths and put them into song.
Absolutely. And I want to shift a little bit now because we're about ready to take our first break, and we're going to be playing the piece that you wrote that was released last Christmas time, Emmanuel. But before we play that, tell us a little bit about what was going on when you wrote that in your heart.
Well, you know, it's one of the great themes of Christmas, isn't it? Isaiah 7:14, that the virgin will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Same in Matthew 1:23,
God with us,
which means God with us.
Mm-hmm.
Even Gabriel, the angel, said, Mary, you will name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So Jesus means Savior. Yeshua HaMashiach means Yahweh, the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And so here, Emmanuel, God with us, seemed to be a good subject here for Christmas and the joy of this wonderful holy day, not just a holiday, but a holy day. This is my first original Christmas song that I wrote, and I hope it will encourage you to celebrate afresh the birth of the Savior.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Now, we're going to take a few moments and listen to this marvelous tune.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel, The baby lies and sees his humble throne. Come and kiss the sun. Angels sang and praises rang. The heavenly choir soars to magnify the Lord. Shall angels have their songs in
Emmanuel. That's Steve, that is an awesome piece of music.
Thank you.
I thank you for listening to the Lord and serving him in this way. At the end of this segment, we're going to listen to another one of Steve's tunes, and particularly the next three pieces you're going to hear come from the newest album release. Isn't that correct, Steve?
Yeah, that's right. It's called Neighbors in an Age of Rage. People can find it on all things social, media and so forth, whether it would be Spotify or whether it be iTunes. Our website is realstevecamp.com. And so we're gradually going to be putting that up, and we've yet to have physical CDs and even LPs. Those are making a comeback.
They are.
Strangely enough, but we're waiting on physical product. It'll be a few months, but they can download it, they can stream it, they can purchase it if they'd like to. Yeah, but it's called Neighbors in an Age of Rage, and the entire album just dropped a few weeks ago. So we're excited for the encouraging words and comments that people have given. It's a long album.
Yeah, 27 songs.
Yes, that's a lot.
I saw
and
that.
Then the Emmanuel is kind of a bonus track, makes it 27 songs. So, it's been amazing. Some people have listened to it through two or three times now. And I said, I'm surprised you're not saying with Cain that your punishment is worse than you can bear. They're like, oh, we really love this. And I said, oh, okay. I figured people would maybe listen to a few songs and take a break and come back for another. And some folks just plugged it in their car while they're on vacation or taking a long trip. And that's been exciting. So praise to the Lord. We're just delighted of the positive response so far.
Amen. And it might be helpful, Steve, as we're talking about, what as God leads you as an artist to bring into fruition what he's put on your heart and which you do in terms of music. And you're also a pastor, so you're a preacher and a teacher. But in terms of the music, this album has a very consistent and current theme. It's your heart when you were writing these songs, and they're all peculiar to the times we're living in, as far as my perception. Talk about that a little bit. What was going on when God first got you to think about this album?
Yeah, you're right. It was for me, David. It was probably the hardest album I ever wrote. In fact, it spanned a time period of about 8.5 years. Of getting ready for this. Our nation has been through so much, as with the introduction
which is really of woke belief and worldview and CRT, DEI, ESG, mm-hmm. and the like, identity, yeah. politics, mm-hmm. intersectionality,
yep.
all of this, the social justice issues, it's really recycled Maoism or recycled mm-hmm. Marxism.
Amen.
And it's putting an American face on it. People unwittingly, and I'll say this kindly, the woke left and the woke right, there was a group of evangelicals that formed this last election cycle, for example, that were called Evangelicals for Harris.
And I had
I'm not surprised.
Several friends in the music community that embraced the Harris Walls ticket. And this is not a political statement, but more a biblical one. I would ask them, how could you be for unfettered abortion? How could you be yes. for transgenderism of puberty blockers and the mutilation of young children, their body parts, and so forth?
Mm-hmm.
How could you be for lawbreakers and unfettered drugs coming across and yeah. the trafficking that goes on? I mean, the list mm-hmm. goes on and on. And I would ask them, define your beliefs scripturally, because we're not talking about here a balanced budget amendment. This had dramatic impact for our nation. And so this album, I wanted to write, it didn't start out that way. I had a praise song or two, but as the culture unfolded, I wanted to write songs that would deal with these issues. And the theme of neighbors in an age of rage, we're to be neighbors. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. In fact, Jesus goes a step further in Matthew 5, where he says, not only love your neighbor, but love your enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And amen. This does not condone illegalities in any way, shape, or form, or spiritual maladies. Mm-hmm. But what this does say is, how are we as Christians going to be salt and light to a dying world from a biblical worldview? And by the way, good law-abiding yeah. government is something literally from Joshua right through to major parts of the New Testament is taught. We forget God established a three-leg prong of society to flourish: the family, religion, or for the biblical worldview, Christianity, and then government.
Mm-hmm.
And when we see family redefined, when we see government redefined, when we see faith redefined, no wonder we're in the hot mess mm-hmm. that we find ourselves in today. Yeah. So this album is kind of a musical Ecclesiastes. I wanted to write songs that honestly spoke of the issues facing us, and then ultimately pointed throughout the record, not in every single song. Sometimes we need to contemplate where we are, mm-hmm. but ultimately that the solution, as an old friend Andre Crouch would say, Jesus is the answer.
Amen. And that's always
Steve,
been.
I see one of the titles of your songs is All Lives Matter. Is that like a play on Black Lives Matter? Would
yes,
you say?
Very good. BLM, mm-hmm. Black Lives Matter. Yep. By the way, BLM, the organization, is different from saying of every tongue and race and so
yep.
forth
mm-hmm.
right.
of nationality and race matters. Most of the folks I've engaged with BLM, with Black Lives Matter, the organization, don't care about black lives.
Yeah.
Amen.
In fact, I would say the difference when I met, and I won't name them, but I've met with some pretty famous people, some actors and musicians throughout the years here, dialoguing about these things, and I get more threats on my life from BLM than any other organization out there.
It's a woke organization.
They don't yep. like telling the biblical worldview. In fact, when some heard the song All Lives Matter, they said, well, it's a really lovely song, we like it, but where are you going to preview this song? Are you going to perform at the Airy Crown Theater in Chicago or Carnegie Hall or whatever? And I said, no, I want to go to Ferguson. Let's walk
That's
the street there. And
Steve.
They said, oh man, you do that, we're going to take you down. And I said, well, absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Amen.
I don't take death seriously because the Lord conquered it, but I want to be wise. And so here, the world is unfettered when it speaks about its racism. By the way, BLM are the true racists.
Yes.
Amen.
Not the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here it's interesting, in the day and time in which we live, I never thought all lives matter. Every black life, every white life, yes, every Asian life, every yep, Spanish life,
yes,
every Russian life, every Ukrainian life, yes, every British life.
Yes.
We can say the biblical worldview is all lives matter. I was telling one actor, he says, well, you tell me that I'm your neighbor and that you love me. He goes, why is that? And I said, well, only because you may not believe this, but you were created in the image of a holy God, and mm-hmm, therefore every life has value. Now, I said, you show up at 8 o'clock at night at our home by invitation, my wife will prepare an amazing meal. We'll have great time together and enjoyment. But you show up at 3 o'clock in the morning uninvited and try to break into our home. I said, I will not welcome you with a hug, but I have a ministry called the 12 Gauge Ministry. And I said, I will defend. That was a joke, but I will defend my wife and my neighbors.
Yes.
Because legal defense of one's life is not violence. It is condoned by law. So what we see is, you know, what Isaiah 5 says, right? Woe to those who call darkness light, light darkness. Good, amen. Evil, amen. Evil, good.
Amen.
It's been inverted, the biblical model.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm,
I was thinking, man, where is Dylan, Bob Dylan? Where is McCartney? Where is Stevie Wonder in writing great songs about these issues? And you know what? They all kind of ran from these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and and I'm not putting myself at all on their plane, but I thought, well, Lord, as you used a little young man with a lunch pail of a few fish and, you know, pieces of bread, that's how I feel like with this album. Take it, multiply it, speak to the culture. In fact, with All Lives Matter, it was interesting, and with another song on the album called Another Mile, Another Mile was blocked on YouTube because of its quote-unquote violent content, and all we did was pull footage from the newsreel to give people an idea of where each of these phrases came from.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but we still have to speak out, don't we?
Do.
We have to use the truth.
Yes.
To say, no more compromise on this thing. Someone's life. And by the way, the song doesn't say all Presbyterian lives matter, all Reformed right, lives matter,
yeah,
all Baptist lives matter, all Charismatic lives matter. No, we can't be selective. We have to say every life matters. That's
amen,
the parable
amen,
of the Good Samaritan.
The image of God.
Yep. Who is our neighbor? Anybody in our path in need. This is not socialism. This is not communism. It's to say we are to go into all the world. And sometimes Jesus said handing a cup of cold water in his name can be a witness. So we have to do both. But there is a reality. So I appreciate your insight there, Ann, and your comment to me.
Yeah, no
and
problem.
And we're going to go ahead. I moved things around, so we're going to play that song right now, All Lives Matter, and then we'll come back and do some more talking.
When one of us cries, the other tastes all. Falls down, the other picks him up. Strangers playing in the same band, learning the song till we all understand.
All lives matter, all lives. All lives matter. One God, one God. All lives matter.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
What a great song.
Oh, man. That,
wow.
Could I interject for just a moment?
Yeah.
I'm of a different generation than you are, Steve, and that song really touched me deeply. I'm buying that album, but I want to tell you, it takes a lot of courage to say the things you're saying in this album, and these are things that most mainline pastors wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole from the pulpit.
Yeah.
And they need to. They need to be addressed. The Christian perspective on the rage in this world today needs to be addressed from the pulpit. And you are doing a fantastic job with this album.
Amen.
Oh, thank you so much, my brother. Well, you know what? It's interesting, as we were talking before, that if all of Scripture deals with all of life, then just to your point, Ed, then we must speak in the church and outside the church all of life through the lens of Scripture, because
yes,
there's no part of it that the Word is silent on.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about, some guys will say, well, Steve, well, nowhere in the Bible does it talk about how to change a flat tire. Well, that's not the purpose of God's Word. But on these important relationships, religious, spiritual issues, family, government, whatever it may be there, it's crystal clear if we dig for it, as Proverbs says, like a lost coin in the field. So, brother,
your
encouraging words are not taken lightly, and I hope pastors that are listening today will use the pulpit to still preach the Word. That's the duty every Sunday.
Amen.
Cut it straight. Give them the truth of Scripture. It's not 10 stories, three illustrations in one verse. Preach it. The people are hungry for it.
Yes,
but don't cower under addressing these important issues facing our culture. It's vital that we do so.
Amen.
You know, you're a pastor, Steve, as well as Ed and myself also are pastors. And you know, we've all been pastoring for several decades. And the one commonality I think that we found, there are people that don't want to hear the truth. And some of them are in our own church. And after a sermon maybe that's really incisive, you know, cuts right to the heart, bringing the Word of God, the truth of God, right to the foreground, and addressing issues of the day, like also that your album addresses. And some people will come up to their pastors and in one way or another will say, you know, if you keep preaching that, your job may be in jeopardy. You know, or they may be a little more subtle or a little less subtle, but... You know, let's talk about
that. My response
that.
To that usually is, but you're not my boss.
Yeah, well,
I know. Jesus Christ is the head of the church.
But there are some pastors that quake at the thought of being of losing their position by speaking the truth.
Absolutely. I mean,
and they don't see the disparity, the spiritual disparity in that.
And fear of man over fear of God.
It's the agenda and motivation they have to be in a pastorate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
No, that is so well said. You know, you think of some of the great voices in the New Testament. You remember in the early chapters of the book of Acts, Peter was threatened with jail time, and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the members of the Sanhedrin said, "We told you not to teach in that name."
Uh-huh.
And we're given those great words out of Acts 4:12, "There is salvation in no other. There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved." Listen, no one's going to heaven because of Buddha, because of Krishna, because of Muhammad, or because of some generic "all souls live in eternity," whether you're an atheist or whatever. If you die in your sins, you will face the eternal wrath of a holy God forever. Yeah. But if you come to salvation by grace through faith in Christ, you have eternal life. But in the meantime, from salvation to when we're home with the Lord, the Bible speaks of that as sanctification, meaning, how are we to grow in grace? How are we to be conformed to Christ daily? And there's where the culture and the church collide, that we need to be speaking boldly about all truths, not just selective truths, but all truths. Yeah. And, you know, we can have vibrant conversations with people at coffee houses and bring the biblical worldview right into that place. But at the same time, you know, if we cower to the fears of men, hey, listen, I've been in churches where we've seen tremendous growth. I've also been in churches where we've had Scottish revivals. The numbers decrease substantially. And you know, you Same think here. Of the great John Knox, who, when the king and Knox the queen College. Under Bloody Mary would attend services sometime, he was not shy in literally calling them out in worship. And that went to the heart of it all. We think of the Oxford martyrs who were burned at the stake, and they were undaunting in their relationship with the Lord. We think of dear men and women and children during the time, a little book out there called Fair Sunshine that talks about what was happening in Scotland during the persecution of the church. They would take pastors and they would tie their wives and their children to stakes out in the water during low tide, but then they would put them in the water where when high tide would come, it would overwhelm them, and the pastors were at the shoreline, and they were saying to the men of God, deny the faith, deny Christ and his truth, stop preaching what you're preaching, and we'll set free your wife and child. And they were not compromising, and the wives would cry out, and the children would cry out, "Don't do it, Dad. Don't do it, husband. We will be with the Lord. Stand strong. This world is not our home." Well, you know, when we keep eternity in view in those kind of things, the issue is clear. One of you said it. We don't fear man. We fear the Lord.
Amen.
And when we do that, when we live in reverential fear of him, then the message and the courage is easily summoned.
Amen. Amen. And that's is what, and I know God has put it on our heart here at the radio station to be presenting those truths that are critical for the believer today.
Absolutely.
And the unbeliever, because the truth applies to the unbeliever as well as the believer. And I would like to think that other Christian media, because God has raised up Christian media in general, radio, TV, the written word, of course, is also part of that.
Yes.
And certainly what you're doing, Steve, is also Christian media, in that it is a way and means God is using to get the attention of the church. You know, as God used prophets throughout time, and even today, there are prophets today who are calling people back to Christ, calling the church back to faithfulness, and bringing the Word of God again to the foreground, and taking the risk. You know, Christianity is a risky business.
Amen.
I often quote G.K. Chesterton, who wrote, Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and not tried.
Amen.
And, you know, and that difficulty, of course, goes away if you're in the Spirit and you know you're doing God's work. So,
well
and
said, brother.
Tell again, but we're going to, in a minute, we're going to go and we're going to hear another one of your songs, Without Love. But before we do that, and I want you to talk about that, but tell people again how they can get in touch with you, how they can find your music and actually obtain it.
Amen.
Oh, thank you. Well, our website is realstevecamp.com. Mm-hmm. They were wanting to charge me $50,000 to get stevecamp.com, and I said, you know what? There's something not right about having to pay for your own name.
Amen.
Anyway, realstevecamp.com, and you'll find things on there. It's a site under constant growth and development. And then on Twitter or X, I'm there under Pastor SJ Camp, and then also on Facebook under Steve Camp, and so forth. And then we're rebuilding the church site right now, the Cross Church site at crosschurch.us. And so that's a work in progress. Lord willing, sometime in mid or late January, we'll have that up and running. And would covet people's prayers. We're located out in Fort Pierce now, and you're welcome to join us on any Lord's Day. We meet in our home now. We've become a house church.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet in our home. It's at 4919 Pine Tree Drive in Fort Pierce, Florida. We start at 10 a.m., and you are welcome to come. It's a different shift for us, but it's how the first 300 years of the church existed in home churches. And we are thrilled to be trusting the Lord in this transition time for our life and ministry. Amen.
I just finished talking to someone about that, the church in your home. That's critical. It's the only way we can really become deeply involved in what the Scripture says and apply it properly. With mega churches with 3,000 people, I just have a hard time understanding how we can really get to the heart of the gospel in a place that big.
Well, you know, the Scripture in Ephesians 2 calls the saved of the Gentiles and the saved of the Jewish believers, they call them the household of faith.
Amen.
Mm. And that had real imagery. So we tell people, come on home and join us. And again, I served with Dr. MacArthur out at Grace Community Church for a few years back in the late 90s. And I love John, and I love that church. It's got 10,000 folks coming every week.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I've never done a home church setting before, but I tell you, I wouldn't trade it for the world. There's an intimacy of fellowship, and we are in community, and it's a wonderful thing. We were looking for a new church building, but the costs were so high after we sold our property in Palm City, we thought, all right, Lord, let's take some steps out here and see what you would have. So for now, this is where we're meeting, and we trust the Lord for that. And some days you can have very few, and other days we can have more, but we are so grateful to the Lord for his people and for his sovereign leading in this way of worship.
Amen. And that kind of leads us to the next song that they're going to be hearing during the break, and that is Sunday Used to Be. And I listened to it actually several times, but just recently before the program. And again, as a pastor, you know, I'm resonating with it in a different way, but I love it, Steve. Tell us a little bit about where that came from, how, when God gave you that, what was going on?
You know what? I was at our oldest son's wedding, Maxfield Camp, and was just at a piano, actually, out in the lobby where we were having a get-together as family. And I started to work on the music of that song, and the phrase Sunday used to be came into my thinking. It's a little confusing for people at first, but what it simply means is this, is the chorus says, Sunday used to be all about Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Sunday used to be about family all day. Sunday used to be about others first before me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and though we've lost our way, we'll get back home when Sunday used to be. So it's reclaiming the Lord's Day on Sunday as a holy day to be spent together in worship and praise. And I hope this song will encourage you. If you don't have a local church, you need to be in one. Think about this. Get back to what Sunday used to be.
Amen. Well, let's listen to that song.
Amen.
Sunday used to be.
is loving our neighbor. Mere cliche. Has the golden rule become passé? Is the family Bible only for display? Its pages unopened and we remain unchained. Sunday used to be all about Jesus, and Sunday used to be about family all day. Sunday used to be about others first before me. And though we've lost our way, we'll get back home when Sunday used to be. In the middle of living ordinary lives, have we forgotten love is sacrifice? Self-sufficient, self-reliant, self-absorbed, so blind. We say you need nothing, there's an emptiness inside. Sunday used to be about family all day. Sunday used to be about others first before me. And though we've lost our way, we'll get back home when Sunday. Get back home. And though we've lost our way, we'll get back home when Sunday used to be.
Wow. Oh, Steve, I just, you know, I mean, I've known you for a while, and I've had the privilege of sharing moments on the air with you and moments off the air with you, but I just have to say what a tremendously gifted man you are, and we give God the glory for it. And every time I hear something you've written and that you've performed, that I just again know that our God is a great God. And he takes all of us humble creatures, and he gifts us in some very special ways. And when we say yes to those gifts, then God anoints that gifting, and God speaks through us, Steve. And I can't thank God enough for your gifting, and I can't thank you enough for saying yes to God.
Oh, well, thank you for those encouraging words. SDG, Sola Deo Gloria, all praise to the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
You know, right. Martin Luther, during the Reformation, came up with a phrase, the priesthood of all believers. He wasn't saying all believers are pastors, but he was saying, in counteraction to a recalcitrant Roman church, that he was saying that we come to Christ and every believer uses their gifts before the Lord. He said, the pastor that preaches the sermon and does faithful study on Sunday morning is not greater than the one that makes the shoes that we wear to walk these rough cobblestones in Wittenberg. And, you know, all of us have giftings and usings of the Lord to be done that way. And, you know, so isn't it great in the body of Christ, the hand can't save the foot, I have no need of you.
Amen.
You know, we are given gifts, spiritual gifts in the church to be used for the one another's. And what a great, great privilege. And that's why it's so important we gather for worship on Sunday. If I could be so bold, your co-host Ann this morning shared a burden, and if Ann, if I could quote
right
you
ahead,
here,
please.
That you were saying, you know what, I'm concerned for parents and grandparents that are putting their sports activities of their children and grandparents and their grandkids above worship.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And that affects our church, that affects every church, and I'm the same way. This Sunday is the Lord's Day. Why do we worship on Sunday and no longer Saturday? Well, it's because the Lord rose on the first day of the week, on Sunday.
Absolutely.
The Passover was held on the Saturday. And so now, every time a church meets on the Lord's Day, we call it, in Scripture refers to it as that, the first day of the week, we're celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that ought to have, I know it sounds old school, but that ought to have priority with families. And Anne, I so appreciate your heart as a woman in saying that, in bringing that up. You must be one of those strong, very knowledgeable, godly women that the left poo-pooed, but President Trump said, I love these kind of women.
Amen.
All glory to God.
If we were living in those early days when the Bible was being written, she'd be mentioned in it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh,
you know, around with Ruth.
Well,
and
you know,
Naomi
what a great hope that we have for godly women. I tell people all the time, I may be the head of our home, but Cindy's the neck that turns the head. She's the heart of the home.
Amen. Yes.
I love that.
And she has all the influence of with our kids. I hear from the kids every week, but you know, I so am thankful for a godly wife and mom to these kids that you know, when they're going through a real issue and they need that heart response and the gentle response, they'll meet with her, they'll call her, she'll pray for them, she'll give them God's word. In fact, one of them called her this morning and just said, hey, could we have a little private Bible study together this week?
Oh, wow.
So they're setting up a time as
That's
mom and
beautiful.
Daughter
that is
to just get together and to talk about the things of the Lord. Man, may her tribe increase. I love
Amen,
that.
Amen. Mm. Listen, I hate to say this, but this time in the in the program, I always have to say, our time is running out. I would love, in a minute, I'm going to ask you for a commentary on the closing song. It's actually going to close us out, close the program out. But again, tell people how they can get a hold of you, how they can find your music.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you can send me an email if you'd like to steve@crosschurch.us, steve@crosschurch.us. Our website is realstevecamp.com. They can follow me on Facebook or X. On X, my handle there is Pastor S.J. Camp. Or on Facebook, just Steve Camp. And we deal with all kinds of issues there. So we'd love to have you. And as Ed was discovering this morning, you can get on Spotify or iTunes or all kinds of streaming platforms and download and listen to the music as well. We'd love to hear your opinions.
That's excellent. And tell us, the last song is going to be Without Love. And again, I said that little close out the program, so we won't be returning, but the program will then go over to the top of the hour and we'll get somebody else. But before I ask you to, before you do that, Steve, I just want to thank you for being available to us. And you really are a tremendous, you're an instrument of God's truth. He uses you in a very powerful way.
Amen.
Yes.
Our hearts and our prayers are always to, you know, for God to lift you up, continue to bless you, and those like you, those that are willing to step out in front and say, this is what I believe.
Courage.
And I love
boldness.
My God. I love Jesus.
Yes.
And I pray that you do as well.
Yeah.
And so thank you for being of it. We will have you back on. No question about it.
Thank you, my brother. And hey, listen, I appreciate all of you and Jonathan and Karen, the whole team there at WCNO. What a joy to always be included in this wonderful station. And we're so grateful for all of you. You cover so much of the state of Florida. And what a great station, 100,000-watt FM station that's dedicated to the Christian worldview, to Christian music. I mean, we are so honored that you're in this community. So thank you for your sacrifice.
I believe thank we're you. Part of the remnant people that God is raising up.
Amen. I believe that. Well, give us about a minute's worth of understanding of Without Love. Well, how did that come about?
Yeah, it's taken right out of 1 Corinthians 13. Paul says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong
a
or
resounding
a clanging
gong.
Cymbal.
Yeah, yeah,
if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Even if I give away all that I have and I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I am nothing. And then this is one of my wife's favorite verses, so I'll encourage you in this. Verse 7, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails.
Never fails.
So I hope that this will encourage us that love is a verb, to quote my buddies in DC Talk. It needs to be lived out.
Yes.
And may we live this life of love today in the Treasure Coast and encourage others in the gospel.
Amen.
God
amen.
Bless Steve, you,
Steve. Thank you. And here is Steve Camp, Without Love.
Everything I earn, I would have not love. I am nothing. If I gave my body to be burned, I would have not.